James Clifford, who's your church.
Good morning. I want to thank Brother Dan for that prayer. She's praying for us to thank the heaven that we lay down on our bed. That's meant us to remember that tonight, when we lay down, when we get up, we all should do that. And I think the thing I thought that brought many thoughts to my mind there when he said those words, it's time, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, the scriptures come to my mind, and I get up and read, it may be 4 or 5 o'clock, and I may never go back to bed. Because as many times when I lay down, I'm thinking about God each and every day. I think about Him when I rise. I think about Him every minute of my life. That's the way it should be. And I was hoping this morning I would not have to stand here. When I come to the church, I always wished I could have a hiding place somewhere. And there's been many scriptures upon my mind. But just the afternoon, I went and had the opportunity. I worked on the funeral anyway, so about our funeral home. And that I had got a letter from a hospice that served me there for about 20-some days while my mother was down. And I knew that they were going to have 5 white doves to turn loose. But, well, I can't be at both places at the same time. But I went in at the back, and I have donated 20 of the number 12 songbooks to the Howard Funeral Home. And while I was back there in the Forest County, come along and said, James, let's go with me to the turn these doves loose. They were the prettiest white doves you ever saw in my entire life. So I went along with him, and so when we got there, we went over there to the forest and we turned them loose there. And it was quite a sight to see. It just was coming up on the 3 years of my precious dear mother's been gone. I got a great blessing out of seeing how those doves, when they turned them loose, what they done. He told me, Mr. Chandler, I says, these doves come from Beckley, West Virginia. And says, when we turn them loose, says, I go back to my home. And the remark I made to him, I said, well, sometimes these birds and things have more mind than we have. But it was a beautiful place. But yeah, this morning, in the Song of Solomon, in the 2nd chapter, that come to my mind here, the 2nd chapter here, while watching that go on. And this was certainly, he says, Solomon was speaking him, he says, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. As the lilies among the thorns, so is my love. Jordan, and my eyes kind of blurred upon me. As the lilies amongst the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple trees amongst the trees of the woods, so is my beloved amongst the sons. I sat down under his shadow, and with great deliverance, and his fruit was sweet to mine taste. And he brought me to the banquet house. He brought me to the banquet house, and his banner over me was love. That was the verses that has been upon my mind and was. I hope y'all will pardon me because my eyes want to be a little blurry there. But as we look here, Jesus Christ is the rose of Sharon. Jesus Christ is the rose that never fails. He has come and brought us down. He came and brought his kingdom here and established. And people say now in this day and time, and you hear it preached, and just about every time you turn your radios on, yeah, these ministers are preaching, trying to preach, and saying, well, you've got to do something to be able to come to God. The scriptures teach you plain. There's nothing we can do. If God Almighty don't come to us, we cannot go to Him. And I want to tell you this morning, as I stand here before you, I certainly believe that every one of God's dear children, every one that he gave unto his son, and every one that he went there and was nailed to that old rugged cross, somewhere between conception and death, there will be a reborn and regeneration of them. As it speaks to the trees and the lilies amongst the thorns, I want to tell you here this morning, brothers and sisters, we are amongst the wicked. We are walking amongst the wicked. But it's so wonderful to know this morning that God is watching over us. I can think about that 23rd Psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." I don't believe that's talking about up yonder in heaven in the moral glory. How Jesus Christ come down here, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of the Son of the Father, who was full of grace and truth. Brother, you said, God cannot lie. He will never lie. I believe I mentioned this the second Sunday evening as I stood where them had old Spoon Creek Church. As the Bible says, God is true, but every man a lie. I told a man, and I heard Brother Gunner say this one time. He says, "You sisters is going to get out of it." I told him, I said, "I've had some ladies to tell me some just as big a lies as anybody." I want to tell you, we got to watch. We got to walk closer to God each day and each hour. If God don't hold us by the hand, I think about that song that was Brother Lyman Payne's favorite song, "Precious Lord, Take Me by the Hand." And Brother Gleason Carmen spoke to me there this morning. I told him to let me sit down there. I want to tell you that kind of words comes to my mind each and every day. If the Lord don't take me and these brethren by the hand and lead us, you'll hear no preaching out of it. On there. And as the apple trees amongst the trees of the woods, so my beloved amongst this time. I sat down under his shadow and great delight, and his fruit was sweet into my taste. I don't believe that was talking about a natural fruit, brothers and sisters. I want to tell you, his word is sweet. It's a fruit. And I'm going to tell you, the scripture teach me plain here. Ye know the fruit tree by the fruit it bears. I'm going to tell you, if somebody, you see one, and as the brothers see, we can stand here and look out over this congregation, and we can see these brothers and sisters bearing fruit. If they don't show some fruit, we're going to wonder, Brother Gleason. But I want to tell you right now, we've got to live in a time now that we must pray for our young children. And what have we got to teach our young children when they come out and start out? They got to be taught at home what is right and wrong before they go into school. They're about more about this high technology than they are teaching the Word of God. I'm going to tell you, this book's laying here before me. I've been reading it for a long time. And every time I open it up, I get more out of it. Sometimes I don't get nothing. But I want to tell you, God is a giving God. And we got to pray that he'll give us understanding. Not only us ministers pray for understanding. You brothers and sisters, don't let your Bible lay on the shelf and get the dust on it till you can write your name in it. I'm going to tell you, read it. I had one to tell me last year she didn't have to read it because the preacher read it. I told her, I said, "You better read, because us preachers can make a mistake." And brothers and sisters, this morning, if I make a mistake, I want to be rectified for it. I want to tell you the time has come, and I just sit down and think about it. Over yonder in that country, every time you turn your news on, you can hear how many boys, how American boys have been killed. I believe I heard this morning that way up in the thousands they hope to have back here at home. We better pray that they can be brought back safe to be with the wives and the husbands and the husbands and the wives back with the husbands. I want to tell you, we've been fighting a battle for a long time. America has turned her back upon God. They're not looking. Well, seems like, he says, He bought me this banquet house, Havana, Oberslin. God is a long-suffering God. He's a merciful God. He's one that is certainly going to be with us. He's going to walk with us. But when we turn our back upon God, He's going to turn His back against us. Oh, today, He'll let the enemies come in and take us over. I watched a program the other night. I believe the night the rain began. They were showing, but we don't realize how many of the Americans that had been held hostage. I sat there and watched them. They'd take them and torture them and put them through there. Take them one by one. Make them get out on their knees with their hands tied behind them. And let them sit there for 15 or 20 minutes. Walk in and take a gun and shoot them. And so they told them, when they shot them, they'd say, "We're doing the will of God." They're not doing the will of the God that I served. I want to tell you, He's wrote that commandment. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not commit fornication. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. I want to tell you today, we all have made mistakes. None of us, but we've got an advocate with God, who's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was a mediator, and a mediator is one that hung between heaven and earth. He didn't open His mouth up, and that was after He was nailed to that cross. That's what we met here for today, is to give praise and glory and to honor His death, burial, and resurrection. And somewhere between conception and death, when we are reborn and regenerated, when we come out from amongst the world to be a separate people, I want to tell you, we've died. You can die and still live. I want to tell you, you've died to the things that you sin in this world, and the things that you wanted to walk with the powers and the principalities of the air. I often think about it so much. If we could just look out, it speaks to the powers and the principalities there. One day I thought about it so much. If we just looked up and see what you can pick up on television, I'm going to tell you what would it be like. I'm going to tell you, though, I want to look up. I can look towards heaven. I can look towards east of the sky, and I can see by our faith. I can see my Savior seated at the right hand of the Father. He told them plain. He said, "If I go not away, ye cannot come. But where I go, ye shall come." He's coming back to a bad morning. He came down from heaven, and He went back. We came from heaven, and we come from the dust of the earth. But some glad morning we're hoping to see over there. I thought some yesterday, as I sat and listened, I'm not contradicting what people believe, but I want to tell you right now, I can't tell you I know I'm bound for heaven in my glory, but I hope I am, for you say by grace and faith and hope. And faith is the evidence of things hoped for. And when you get the hope, this morning when we left home, we was hoping we was going to get here. We didn't need that hope no more. We're going to hope to get back home. But when we reach that eternal home up yonder in heaven and the glory, oh, that's what I'm looking for. Old Job said, "Though my words were written in a book, let it rock with an iron rod. Yea, though I shall see my Savior stand upon this earth in the latter day." He was looking and coming for our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And a lot of you Jews today are still waiting and looking for the coming of a blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to set up a kingdom. They 2,000 years too late. But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, when He come, He spoke unto Peter, and He said, "Peter, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I'll look at that as being here, and if I misinterpret, you brothers can tell me. But I'm going to tell you, the church is a rose to us, and she's a bride to us. John says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband." Tells you about it over there. Go back into that. I believe it's in the 65th chapter of Isaiah. And it says, they're speaking of the new heavens and the new earth. He says, the former heaven and earth has passed away. That's speaking about the Jewish religion. That's speaking about the law days have passed away. We're living under the grace covenants today. And there's a lot in it. I've preached about two sermons on it. I guess Brother Ray gets tired of hearing me speak of this, but I want to tell you one thing right now. We've got a wonderful place to dwell here. We got a place that we got something to smile about. I can tell you this morning that I'm at peace. I'm not troubled too bad. I'll tell you what I do. I go to the book and read it and study it, and I can just see it unfolding. I can see the end are coming, but I don't know when it's coming. Jesus Christ don't know. But last, I can tell you people, if you're in any of the sound of my voice this morning, that's a walking on the outside of Zion. There is rest in this kingdom. Been in it long enough, I know the rest. But I want to tell you, after Jesus Christ was baptized there in the River Jordan, John said, I have need to be baptized for thee. He said, suffer to be so, that we fulfill all righteousness. After Jesus was baptized, the voice of Jesus came in the form of a dove and met on him. I thought about this yesterday, brother. Please, I want to tell you right now. And he says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. He was carried up into the mountain and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Oh, that old serpent come along doing the same thing that he's doing today, trying to devour, trying to show the people that the cold world is more to them. And it's more beautiful out there than it is in this kingdom. The cold world ain't got nothing for me. It never has and never will have. I want to tell you, there is rest. But I want to tell you, serving the Lord is not easy. You've got to stand on your feet all the way. I want to tell you, we don't need to be sitting on the stool or do nothing. We need to be reading and studying, watching. Us ministers watch. These deacons watch. Each and every one. I want to tell you, if we let something come into the church, I tell you, he'll move his banner of love from over. He won't be able to endure that. I know I haven't got into this like I do, but I want to hear these other two brethren preach. Let's keep praying. And as I was saying, I thought about it this week. It's so wonderful. It's very seldom you can ever see one of God ever baptizing. It's so wonderful to see God's dead children. If we pray hard enough, we'll see some more baptizing. I pray that the young people will stick with this. Oh, the current world's going to hate you. And I've been through it. I say, why you want to get in there? You can wait. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no time for waiting. I tell you, I've been traveling this road for about, it's over 60 years. And I tell you, I want to keep traveling it. I want to know more about it. I want to know more about my Savior each day and each hour. Grace is a charming sound. I'm going to tell you, it's by the grace of God that you will reach heaven in the Lord. Glory. Have a great day. May God bless you and keep you in my prayer.
Fear. May God bless you. The only thing I can say this morning, I really enjoyed the singing, enjoyed Brother Earl's look at this chord. And without a whole lot of conversation, a whole lot of brush, I hope to get right into the text, because I do want to hear Brother Gleason preach his church. One thing I want to read about this morning, talk about this morning, and Brother James touched on it some in his discourse, was the things that we fail to do today. And the reason, you know, when we turn on, and people have mentioned this a couple of times already in this service, when we listen to the news, and when we turn the TV on, the radio on, when we pick up the paper and we start to read all this stuff, we see all the bad things that happen and we get distressed. And our chin starts to drop, you know, and our soul just kind of wilts down, and we don't know what to do. And we kind of wonder, why has everything gone so bad? Well, I think the reason that everything seems to have gone so bad for us is we're letting ourselves be drawn into it. You know, instead of thinking and wondering about why everybody is so mean this day and time and so much evil is around about us, we should be picking up the Bible and reading it and studying. And if it need be, drop down on your knees and go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to watch over you and your family and your loved ones and the church of God. And if He watches over that and takes care of that, what is there any meaning to what else goes on around? Because I dare say, if you start in the Old Testament and you start reading through all the books of the Bible, you're going to find just as much, quote, blood and guts as you read about today. As much as you read about today. As much as you see, or hear. I think it's our fault that we let it get to us. It's our fault. We hate to see, and if we do read the newspaper, we know that there's people in our congregations that have loved ones that are fighting wars, and that they die in battle, and it's a sad thing for us to lose someone under those circumstances. It's bad enough to lose someone to death and have to live without them here, but the thing of it is, we can't look at it that way. The other day we went to a memorial when this individual at our Hillsville passed away, and his funeral plans were very much laid out. He said, when I die, I want to go straight to the funeral home and straight to the cemetery. He died Saturday afternoon. He was buried Sunday morning. He said, I have preached my sermon all the days of my life. I don't need a big funeral preached. He said, if you want to get together sometime later in the week and have a big meal together and sit and talk about things and enjoy what you have and to think of me in those terms and to maybe reminisce some old stories that have passed by, go ahead. But I want to be buried as soon as I die. I have preached my funeral. I think that's what a lot of us should do. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, and we find that in the writing here, there's one quote that I want to say, read. He forsook God which made him, and lightly or scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Think about it. He forsook God which made him. And scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. What are we talking about? We're talking about a people. Now we go back and we read about it, we hear preachers, and I've done it many, many times, and they go back and they start talking about the Israelites, how they forsook God, how they disobeyed and were so mean. Let's talk about us today. Let's talk about our forsaking God and scornfully esteeming the rock of our salvation. Let's think about that. We talked about in the Israelites, that family of people back in those days, they're not all past and gone entirely because we are still of their bloodline. But they are gone. The thing of it is, we are here today, and our responsibility to praise God and give Him all the praise, adoration, and glory for the things that He has done for us, and remember that. He is the one that made us. Not only did He make man when He created Adam, and from Adam made Eve in the Garden of Eden, not only did He do that, He made us as we came into the flesh, and also He made us when we became a spiritual being. That's the God we're talking about. He's the rock of our salvation, but without Him, we have no salvation. Without God, we have nothing in this world. So should we scornfully esteem Him? Talk about Him or not talk about Him, don't even think about Him. That's our responsibility today, is to live under the book, live under the teachings of this Bible. Now there's many, many Bibles on the market today that you can buy, and all of them have verses in them that somewhat similar to this book. The Bible that we look at, the King James Version. And there's other King James Version, the New Revised Version. They all have scripture in them, but it's a little bit different. They make it easier to read in some cases. But then also, I find in some cases, they make it easier to read, but they take out the meaning. to change the meaning somewhat. And in doing that, we're not going back and researching and reading what was translated for our benefit and what was handed down to the apostles and to the prophets and to the writers when they recorded all these things. The recordings of this book. When we go to the New Testament, we hear the 12 apostles, and when they start teaching and they start talking and they telling us about the things that happened, we're not reading a fairy tale. We're not reading a book about Little Red Riding Hood and Big Bad Wolf. We're reading the scripture as they wrote it, as they saw it, because they saw Jesus. And the books that they read, and even as Jesus, when he walked here, they went back and they read the writings of Isaiah. They went to the synagogues and they stood and they read. They read what these people had written and recorded about the time as it began and unfolded and as man began and spread throughout all the land. But then we find that these men, they not only saw Jesus, they talked with him. We find that they sat down and they dined with him. And they wrote what they happened. They wrote what had happened at that time. Like when they recorded the communion or the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper. When they recorded that, they didn't record it from some fairy tale that they had written about or someone had told them about. They recorded what they had taken part in. They wrote about Jesus kneeling down and washing their feet. They wrote about the wine that he had made. Now, this man, Jesus, it says he made it us. He made everything else, too. You remember the story about turning the water into wine? And the fishes, when he multiplied the number of fishes to feed 5,000 people. And when he spoke to the sea, when he spoke to the waters that were rushing, and had all the people around them were feared. And they were scared of the storm that was rocking back and forth, and the boat was rocking and tossing back and forth. And what happened? Same thing would have happened if they'd been watching on television. Jesus said, "Peace, be still." What happened? The seas were calmed. Everything became smooth. There was no longer fear. I think that's the way we should start to lead and begin to or restart. I think when we first hear the word of God and we first feel his voice or hear his voice in there, as John writes, he says, as one and a small voice crying in the wilderness. Repent and be baptized at that point on. But as we go into this thing, we begin to get easy with it. We begin to get satisfied with what's going on. We forget and we lay aside the things that we're supposed to be doing. And in doing that, things begin to scare us. We begin to get frightened. We kind of forget or turn away from and realizing that God is there with us. They say he's omnipresent. We're always in his presence. He's nowhere absent. We're sitting here this morning and we're playing songs praising his name, and God is listening, and I'm sure that he's smiling down on us because he's given us sunshine, he's given us rain, he's given us life, he's given us prosperity. He's given us something to be thankful for. That's the same time he's done it to all the people that have gathered together this morning in every church throughout the land. And even to those that don't have a church to meet in and those that have gathered in his name, he's there with them. So this is God we're talking about. If we go over to the 8th chapter of Luke, we read about the parables. One of them is the parable of the sower. Let me tell you about what Jesus said about one specific seed. They on the rock are they which when they hear, they receive the word with joy. Or they sit and they hear the word and they think, oh yes, it's very joyful. And these have no root. Cast upon the rocks. But they'll spring up and they hear it and they'll be glad and they'll be joyful. Which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. Temptation or distress or those things, they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring fruit to perfection. Now we're talking about what we should be looking at, what we should be doing as Christians here today, as people that believe in God and believe in a God that has all power, the one that brought us out of darkness into light, spoke and all things were done. He's the one that has all power. So why should we fear all the other things? We should be giving him praise, but we should be doing it 7 days a week. They use the term now, they don't say 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They use the term 24/7. That just means you should give all the time. Now, one thing he tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, he goes on to say, 25 and verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many times have you thought, how many times you've done this yourself? And I'll have to say that I'm guilty of these things also. It's church day. Time to get up and go to church. A time that we have set apart in our lives, and we do it on the Sabbath day because that's when the Lord said it's the Sabbath day and he rested. And we rest in his love, and we go to the church and we sit down and we hear the singing, we hear the preaching, and we are comforted and we rest in that. But how many times have we got up and he said, oh, I've got a twitch in my back this morning. Oh, I've got a stomach. Not quite right this morning. You go all day long, and that's the only pain you have. You go all day long, but you don't feel well enough to go to the house of the Lord. You'll let your children go other places. I'm going to church this morning. Kids want to go play basketball. They should be in the house of the Lord also, even though at that particular time God has not spoken to them or drawn them or given them the desire that the Bible teaches us. Bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and when they grow old, they'll never depart from it. That's what we should be doing. It says, and goes on to read in the 26th verse of the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. We say, okay, we don't sin. But when you lie to God, isn't that a sin? When you lie to man, isn't that a sin? When you say, I don't feel well enough to go to church, when God has made you, given you strength to walk in righteousness and walk in light and to see all the things and receive his wonderful power, are we kind of telling falsehood? Begging all, so to speak. We shouldn't be doing those things. We say, okay, yeah, it's easy enough to talk about it, but you know, you still feel bad and it's a good day. We should know that. We pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those that are unable to attend. We ask the Lord to be with them and they be in his presence while we're seated here in this place. We ask for that. Second Peter says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. If they have escaped the pollutions of the world. What's the pollutions of the world? It's those things that you see that distresses you and gives you sorrow in your heart when you start reading and learning of all the things that are going on in the world. We are not of the world. We were called out of the world. We were given a life of our own, so to speak. We were given a place of our own, so to speak. He built a church for us, which is called the Bride of Christ. Why did he call it? Because it was adorned for him. He called it out of this world. He dressed it to suit himself. Made it the most beautiful thing that we have eyes to behold. And established it here and gave us a place of rest. When we come here, if we're sitting here wondering and thinking about what we read in the news, and we'll be thinking about something that's going on outside in the other world, you're scornfully esteeming the rock of your salvation. You didn't call us out of the world, then we should look back on it. Think about Lot's wife. He went out of the city which was God was going to destroy. He said, don't look back. You're leaving this place of sin and this place of evil, this place of corruption, this place of pollution. What did she do? Before she got out of sight, she looked back. What did the children of Israel do when they came out of Egypt? they got over into this wilderness land. And the first thing they did, they started mumbling and grumbling among themselves and looking back. Why can't we go back to that? God had delivered them from that. And it's the same as He has delivered us from the world that we live in today. We have to live here. We have to give, pay our taxes. We have to live according to the laws of this land. But at the same time, we are under the law of God. The covenant of grace. The things that He has given us and the things that He has taught us and the book He has given us. You know, it's a lot of comfort. Brother James is talking about when he gets up at night and he sits and reads his Bible. It's a lot of comfort. When you feel down and you can't immediately go to church, or you can't feel like that you are just in despair and distress, you don't have anything to do, it is a blessing if you can get your Bible out and start to read. These are what we should be doing, because it tells us to study, to show thyself approved, the workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, 1 Timothy said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. You see it? Do you see it going on today? Some shall depart from the faith. And I've talked about this, and I've said this to many times. This bothers me. Not that I have any less faith in God, or I have any less faith in His power, that God has any less power, but this bothers me that there are people today publishing books that tell a different story than this Bible. The publishing books that makes our Lord and Savior a man of sin, living after the flesh. And what gets me is when he says here, notice it speaketh expressly that in the latter times shall depart from the faith. There are people today saying, thank goodness, thank the Lord that we finally know the truth. And the truth, according to them, is that God, of the Jesus, while he walked here, he took Mary Magdalene as a wife, and they together had a child. What does that make him? He has two brides. Not so. The Bible says not so, because he cannot sin. He cannot do those things which he has forbidden. He has one bride, the church of God. It's adorned for him. It's said here to be live and life for all those around about. And we are. We talk about that tabernacle, the bride of Christ. And we are those lively stones. Lively stones meaning that we are alive. We have been given life. We have been given understanding. We've been given knowledge. And we are those stones that rightly fit together, make up the tabernacle of God here on this earth. The church. That's His bride. But these people in the South about the latter days, and like Brother James said, well, I wouldn't dare even try to guess when the last day would be. But the Bible teaches us that we're in the latter times because these things are happening. But when people are saying, oh, thank goodness, we finally know the truth. Now that upsets me. Not that I don't think God can handle the situation, but I hate to see people go to such extremes for nothing, but they're willing to do it. Let's see. Giving heed to the seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. If we go back over to the book of Deuteronomy, they talked about Belial. And I wondered who Belial was. But Belial is a people that was referred to as evil people, worthless people. Those that were going around drawing out and telling lies and pulling people away from false teachings, false doctrines, and they were drawing everywhere around. In the New Testament, these people called Belials, in the Old Testament become Satan. They referred to as Satan. Now, that's, we had Satan in the Old Testament, we have Satan in the New Testament. But the thing of it is, wherever he is at, we're going to find all this bad news. We're going to find all the darkness. We're going to find all the lies. We're going to find all the things in this life that God is against. 2 Peter says, yea, therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, you know these things. Think about it. Think back. You may have let it slip a little bit, but ye know these things. Before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. God is telling us, you know, don't let this slip away. Don't get so entangled in it. Don't think about that. We should be thinking on the good things that God has given us. And what is that? God has given us all the things of this life. He has given us wealth. And I'm not talking about billions and zillions of dollars. He's given us wealth because we're able to go about our business here in this life. We're able to see one another. We're able to embrace our brothers and sisters in a holy embrace. And we're able to live among them in peace. Now, outside the walls of this church, outside the walls of all the tabernacles here in this world, there's a world out there. And we're not safe from it in here as long as we let it come in. We're not safe in our own selves as long as we let it come in. Don't slip away. Don't slide away. Follow the teachings that the Bible has given us. And in doing that, ye shall be blessed. Sometimes I think about when God knelt down and created man with all the love and compassion he had. And all these years he has kept us in the palm of his hand. Kept us safe from all the things of the world. Therefore, as the old apostles were when they were in the ship and being tossed to and fro, and when he said, peace be still, everything was calm. He can do that today. He has us lost not one iota of power. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's always with us. He has all power. He has all knowledge. And when we try to do something, and I'm like that scripture in the Bible says, you know, the men seek the darkness and they do the things under the cover of darkness because they think no one will see them. But the older I get, the less I can do that or even think about the darkness because I know that there's no darkness with God. When he looks down upon you, no matter what time of day or night it is, it is bright. He can see exactly what's going on. And in doing this, I'm sure that he is sad when he sees us turning away and not following the scriptures as they were written and as they are taught. Failing to come to God. Failing to believe in him with all of our heart and all of our soul. People will say that, but at the same time, they'll turn right around and they'll begin to think about the things of this world. They can't give it up. They can't turn. And you live in it. It's an everyday battle. Listen to what Paul says about it. Paul tells us, you know, what I would do, I do not, but that I would not do, I do. Because there's a great warfare going on in this flesh, but there's a part of you. There's a part of you sitting out there this morning and is saying, praise God, he sent rain our way. He fed and nurtured the flowers of the field. He fed the trees, and he fed all the things around here. And it's like talking about when he said, you know, when they talked about the birds, and he said, for two fathers, you could buy these birds. I forget what they were right now. But he said, you know, how much more are you to God than the birds of the field, the birds of the air, of the grass out here? Because he created you with his own hand. He spoke you into existence. He brought you out of darkness. I know that he didn't create you like he did to Adam, but I'll tell you one thing. When he spoke and when he turned darkness into light, you began to understand the calling of God and be able to begin to understand and feel within your heart that you had a love for the church. You had a love for God and you believed in him. You believed that he is going to carry you to that home that he has promised and built for you in a place that we have never seen with the natural eye, will not. But we do hear and we know this guy because we hear Stephen tell about it. As he was being stoned, he looked up and he said he saw the clouds go back and the heavens open up. And he saw the throne of God. See, Stephen was a live person. Stephen was a person that was teaching and preaching and was talking about the things that God had done for him. And those that did not believe, the world around him that did not believe.